Okay, on a Sunday evening, we've been looking at Proverbs chapter 26 and drawing out practical wisdom from this particular chapter for our lives. So what we've looked at first of all is Proverbs 26 verse 1 to 11. And we said that the subject matter here is very simple to determine because there is a word that is repeated again and again and again, nearly in every verse, from verse 1 to verse 11. And that word is fool. And if you didn't notice that, then you're a fool. But it's there nearly in every verse here. And so we said that a fool here, or in the book of Proverbs, in the Bible, is not someone who lacks intelligence. It's not someone who's not intellectual. A fool is someone who does not know the fear of the Lord. And therefore, he's a fool because he lives his life without reference to God. And we drew out a number of lessons from this on what that actually means. In Proverbs 26, verse 13 to 16, last week, we looked again. And again, we saw that the subject matter is so easy to determine because there is a word that occurs again and again in every verse, from verse 13 to 16. And that word is... Right, if you didn't notice that, then you're very lazy. Okay, so the word is lazy. So it's very simple to determine the subject matter. So we learned that the lazy person makes excuses. Verse 13, he has imagined fears. He says there is a lion in the road. And therefore, because of that, he has this vivid imagination. I can't go here, I can't go there, I can't do this or I can't do that. It's just excuses. So a lazy person is a person who's full of excuses. We said a lazy person is someone who loves sleep. Verse 14 tells us that. Of course, sleep is good. It's a gift from God. And we need from 7 to 9 hours sleep every night. We're all different. And when we're sick, we may need more sleep if we're ill. But a lazy person is someone who oversleeps and they love their sleep too much. And they have a back problem, don't they? And that back problem is that they can't get it off the mattress. So a lazy person, we said, is someone who never completes their task and is conceited. Now, in the rest of the chapter, from verse 17 onwards to the end of the chapter, there is no one running theme here. But what we have is we have five different categories of people. And these are all troublemakers of one type or another. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at three of them and draw out wisdom from the text here and look at these troublemakers one by one. So the first type of troublemaker is someone who meddles in other people's business. Look at verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. So what is this saying? Someone who passes by and they meddle in someone else's business is like a dog. Or like someone who takes a dog by the ears. Now, what does this mean? What is it saying? I'm no lover of dogs. I had some bad experiences with dogs when I was young. I used to deliver newspapers for many years, 3 years. And I used to have a dog that used to wait for me every day. And I used to try and get away from him from my bike. And that's just put me off dogs for life. We have never had a pet. We've never had a dog as a pet. Although if you ask Gita, she might disagree with you. But British people absolutely love their dogs, don't they? They love their pets. And the Queen has lots of corgis. And some people even allow their dogs to sleep on the same bed as them. Whereas in China, what do they do to their dogs? They eat their dogs. Now, I don't believe in reincarnation. Nobody here does. But if there was such a thing as reincarnation, I think if I came back as a dog, I'd like to come back to England rather than China. But what is this saying? To meddle in someone else's quarrel is like taking a dog by the ears. Now, from what I understand, because I've never really handled dogs in this way, but dogs have very sensitive ears. And most dogs don't like you touching their ears, handling them, squeezing them. And so this is a reckless thing to do. Not only dogs, I remember when we were young, if we messed around, our parents would take us by the ears and bend our ears. Even in our schools, believe it or not, our teacher would take us by the ears and twist our ears. And it wasn't very pleasant, but it helped. It taught you discipline. So we don't like it, dogs don't like it. So this is saying that it's wise not to meddle in other people's affairs, their quarrels, because people don't like it. Just like a dog doesn't like his ears being twisted. Now, we need to be careful here. This is not an absolute command that we should never interfere. I remember when we lived in our old house on Newcombe Road, there was a couple that lived next door to us. And on one occasion, the husband got really drunk and started to beat his wife. He'd never done that before, but he must have been really drunk. Geeta was in South Africa, and so I was alone at home, and I could hear it in the bedroom. She was screaming, yelling, crying. The children were upset, and I thought, he's going to kill her. So I felt that her life was in danger, so I phoned the police, and they came out. They arrested him. So I interfered in their marriage because I felt that her life was in danger. On another occasion, the neighbor on the other side, the husband and the brother-in-law of the wife, they were both drunk, and they were outside fighting, and we could hear them fighting. So I looked through the window, and they were really having a go at each other, and they were really drunk, and it became really violent. So the wife came out, and she had a frying pan, and she hit her husband on the head because he had her brother, in a sort of a lock. And again, I called the police, and they were arrested. Now, you must think that we live in a war zone, but it only happened twice in 13 years, so it's not so bad. So this verse here is not saying that if someone's in trouble or their life is in danger, that you must not interfere or get involved. It's important that we do in that context. But what this is saying is that we must not get involved in people's personal quarrels or their affairs, their businesses, unless we, of course, are invited to do so. Just as a dog doesn't like it when you touch their ears or twist their ears, so people don't like it when you come in like a bulldozer into their affairs. Remember on one occasion, a man came to Jesus and he asked Jesus to sort out this dispute between him and his brother. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 14, "Who appointed me to be judge between you and your brother?" 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 warns us against meddling or being busybodies. in people's affairs. So instead of wasting our time on this, look, as Christians, we ought to give more time and energy in preaching the gospel. Yes, meddle in people's affairs in the sense that go out of your way to give them Christ, to preach the gospel. Invade their territory. Don't be scared. Give them Jesus. They may not like it. They may be offended. They may persecute us. They may reject us. But we need to give them Christ. Meddle in this. Not in their personal affairs. Sure, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Christians were taking each other to court over issues that should have been settled in the church. And so what Paul says, are there not many wise among you who can deal with this? Meddling is different to that. It's interfering with matters that do not concern us. So what this is saying is don't waste your energy and time on these things. So that's the meddler, the person who meddles in other people's affairs. Secondly, there's the joker, the joker. Verse 18 through to 19, it says this, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. So here, there is a man who's described, verse 18, who throws arrows. Not just arrows, but arrows with tips, with flames of fire on them, or poison, firebrands. And he's throwing these randomly, indiscriminately, anywhere. That is why he's called a madman. Just shooting his arrows all over the place, anywhere and everywhere. So what does this reveal to us about this person, about this troublemaker? Verse 19, it says that this is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. So this is a man who, this is not saying that we shouldn't have a sense of humor, that we can't joke as Christians. I often feel that even as Christians, sometimes we stoop to the standards of the world, don't we, at times, when we joke. Paul says in Ephesians 5, verse 4, let there be no filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking, coarse jesting, which is out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. So for a Christian to tell rude jokes or make rude remarks is completely out of the question. When the world tells dirty jokes, as Christians, we should not get involved. Yes, sure, have a sense of humor, but let it be clean humor. I think Laurel and Hardy are wonderful, aren't they? And I think they're classed as the greatest comedians who ever lived. Even my dad, who was illiterate, used to love watching Laurel and Hardy, and they would make him laugh. And most of their humor was clean. But these days, you cannot get a laugh unless you are rude or unless you use bad language. But the person here who jokes around all the time and fires jokes at people forgets that jokes can be at other people's expense. They can be hurtful, deceitful. There may be a hidden agenda. There may be anger in the heart. There may be hatred towards that other person. And we make cutting, sarcastic remarks. And we say, you know what? I was only joking. But there's more behind the joke than meets the eye. It's like firebrands. We hurt people with our jokes and cause them pain. Many years ago, a man named Andrew Lumsden, he's from Doncaster, he found himself in court. He had been flying in an aeroplane to Turkey, and the stewardess asked him, what is that you got round your neck, that plastic tube? And he joked, and he said, it's a bomb. As a result of that, he was taken to court. And the jury said, this man was daft, but he's not a criminal. And he learned his lesson. People often play dangerous practical jokes at parties, at stag nights, and they can be harmful physically to us or emotionally. And we end up saying, you know what? It was only a joke. So this proverb is saying, be careful that we do not become known as madmen who joke around all the time, so that people then won't take us seriously. And when we even then witness to people about the Lord Jesus Christ, about their souls, about heaven, about hell, about salvation, they just won't take us seriously. Why? Because they think, well, he's a joker. And therefore, we lose that opportunity to share the gospel with them in a meaningful way. So these are two types of troublemakers mentioned here, the meddler, the joker. And finally, we have the gossip. The gossip, or the quarreler, and the quarreler. We see this in verse 20 through to 22. You'll see again that word tale-bearer repeated in the verses, or in some translations, it'll have the word gossip there. So again, you know that these verses are talking about someone who is a tale-bearer. So what is the picture here? Verse 20, it says this. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So here you have a pile of wood. You put it into the grate. And naturally, if there's a grate and it's empty, then naturally, you're not feeding the fire. Naturally, the fire will die down. Verse 21 says this. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire. So the contrast here in verse 21 is this. Is that if you feed the fire with charcoal, then obviously the fire will increase, the flames will increase. So the principle is this. Adding fuel to fire keeps the fire going. Depriving the fire of fuel makes the fire go down or go out. So this is saying that if there's someone who is a gossip, a quarreler, a talebearer, and you add fuel to their gossip, you feed their gossip, you listen to their gossip, you're entertained by their gossip, then you are just adding fire to their gossip. It's like fuel to a fire. It'll keep the gossip going and the gossip will spread. Verse 21, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Their gossip will hurt people, damage them. Gossip destroyed reputations. We say things about people that are not true. This is fuel to a fire. There was a man, and he was the owner of a company. One day, one of his employees gossiped about him. And as a result, his reputation was ruined. Other manufacturers refused to deal with him, and therefore the company collapsed, and the owner was bankrupt. Then the employer realized that he'd made a mistake, and he came to his boss, and he said to his boss, "Look, I'm sorry, I spread rumors about you, I gossiped." And he said, "Please, can you forgive me?" The owner of the company was a Christian. And so he said, "Yes, I will forgive you. But I want you to do something." He said, "I want you to take a pillow full of feathers, and I want you to go to the tallest building in the city. And then what I want you to do is open up the pillow case and let the feathers out." So the employee, he did this. He got a pillow and with feathers in, and he went to the tallest building in the city, and he just ripped the pillow apart and the feathers just flew away. Then he came back to his boss and he said, "Look, I've done what you've told me to do." And then the boss said to him, "What I want you to do now is go and collect all the feathers." The man realized that he couldn't do this. The feathers had spread all over the city, and therefore it was just humanly impossible to collect them. And then he got the message. The boss said, "Yes, I forgive you, but you need to realize that just like the feathers spread, gossip spreads. And when it gets out, people change the story, people spice it up, put a bit of salt and pepper on it, a little bit of chili, just to spice it up, to make it interesting. And it becomes worse than what it originally was. And it's impossible to contain the rumors and the gossip, just like the feathers were impossible to collect. It's impossible to undo it. And even if the rumors are quashed and dealt with, believe me, people will still have doubts in their minds about your integrity. So if there's a gossip, don't add fuel to their fire. Don't encourage them. Don't listen to them. Because if you add no fuel or no wood, then the fire will go down. Verse 22 says this: "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." What is he saying? He's saying, gossip is nice, isn't it? He's saying that God created us to not just to eat, to live. That is true. Obviously, we can't live without eating. But God has given us taste buds. And therefore, we are to enjoy our food. It's a gift from God. It's a pleasurable thing. But he's saying the words of a gossip are like tasty trifles. They're nice. They're tasty. This is a warning. If a gossip comes to you and they give you a piece of gossip, it's very, very tempting to encourage them and to want to know more. Because it's nice. This is saying, don't feed it. Don't feed their gossip. Don't feed the fire, because this is ruining other people's reputation. If you look at the Proverbs and other parts in the Proverbs where it talks about gossip, it's very interesting. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 11, and verse 9, it says, "The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous will be delivered." So with our mouths we can destroy our neighbors. Look at verse 13, chapter 11 again. "A talebearer," again a gossip, "reveals secrets, but he who is a faithful spirit conceals the matter." A person who is a gossip cannot keep things confidential. Chapter 20, verse 19. Chapter 20, verse 19. What does it say there? It says this. Verse 19 says this. "He who goes about as a talebearer or a gossip reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips." Again, the same thing. Don't associate with them. Don't add fuel to the fire. If you go to the book of James, and James is really strong on this, James chapter 3, he talks about the tongue. He talks about the tongue, chapter 3, verse 5. "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." What is he saying? He's saying your tongue is such a small part of your body, but it is amazing how much damage it can do. He says in verse 3, you know, we put bits in horses' mouths so that we can control them. He talks in verse 4 about the fact that a huge, large ship is controlled by a little rudder. He's saying we as people, as men, we can tame animals and control ships. But verse 8, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." The tongue is deadly. Gossip is deadly. Verse 9, "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the image, made in the similitude of God." What is he saying? The tongue. It can do so much damage. Like a little spark in the forest that can get the fire going and burn the whole forest. He's saying here, the tongue is deadly. We can with it 1 second come to church and we can sing God's praises. We can pray even in the home. We can be praising God with our tongue 1 minute, and the next minute someone irritates us and we start cursing them. Who can control the tongue? Brother, sister, be careful of gossip. It's deadly. It destroys reputations. In the news on Valentine's Day, a TV presenter, Caroline Flack, was found dead in a flat. Now, I have never heard of her, but from what I understand, she was a very popular personality on television, a celebrity. She was 40 years old, and she had assaulted her partner, her boyfriend, I'm not sure, and the police decided to prosecute her. And as a result of that, there were all sorts of rumors on social media, gossip items flying around, and she just could not handle it. And as a result of all the gossip and the rumors, she decided to take her life. That, brother, sister, is what gossip can do. Be careful of gossip and the way we use our tongues, especially in the context of the church, where it can destroy people and destroy relationships. There are lots of false rumors flying around, even about Christianity, about Christ. People say Jesus did not die. People say Jesus was not resurrected. In Bulgaria, when I went there, you know what the rumor is? The Christians, they get drunk every Sunday. That's what the Orthodox Church was saying. The Christians and other non-believers, they were saying when they get together, these evangelicals, they break bread, they have bread and they have wine. And they drink and they get drunk and they have orgies. These are feathers. Gossip. Fire. That is impossible to control. So, brother, sister, let's be wise. Let's reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not meddle in people's business that doesn't belong to us. Let's not be clowns, jokers, in a desire to want to be popular. Yes, we need to have a sense of humor. That's important. But you know, if people just take you as a clown, they'll never take you seriously. And let's not be gossips, and let's not abuse our tongues, but rather use our tongues to edify and build our brothers and sisters up. Amen.